Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Finances with Francine and Friends. I'm your host, Francine Humphrey, and as always, I am delighted to be with you. We have two exciting guests on the show today. We have Michelle Ewing and Kevin Green of Five Rings Financial. Our mission is to share information, updates, guest highlights, and keep you educated on all things financial. Today, Michelle and Kevin will be sharing with you a little bit about their journey on this road to financial freedom and a few tips and maybe a secret or two. So please stay tuned, and I suggest you get paper and pencil so you can write some things down. We are excited to be with you, and hello, Michelle. Hello, Kevin.
I think, Michelle, you're having a little problem with your mic. How you doing, Francine?
I am fine. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. So Michelle will jump in when she gets her mic all set up.
I am ready. How are you, Francine?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you for asking.
Great. So I want to welcome you to the show today. We have a fantastic topic. We're going to talk about what's so scary about money. And so before we get started, I just want to welcome our listening audience to the show. Thank you so very much for tuning in to Finances with Francine and Friends. And we are on every Friday at 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Thank you for our listeners who are on the line with us today. We really appreciate you calling in and listening in. And we thank those who are online, and we really appreciate you because we couldn't do this show without you. So I'm going to just read a little bit of Michelle's bio and then Kevin's, and I won't read the whole thing. And if you would like to know more information about them, they're going to give you information where you can contact them, or you can go to our show from last week and get the full bio. So today, Kevin Green, originally from New York, New York, has a Bachelor of Science degree from New York University, double majoring in finance and business management. He began his career in banking and finance in the early 1980s. Kevin is currently a regional manager for Five Rings Financial, and he's going to share with you just a few tips about what he's doing and how he's been doing with his organization in just a few moments. But now I want to introduce you to Michelle Ewing, a native of Brooklyn, New York, is a retired Navy line officer and a certified human resources professional with broad training and 27 years of military leadership experience in both operational and administrative environments. Michelle holds a BA in psychology from Old Dominion University and an MA in urban education community counseling from Norfolk State University. Michelle has dedicated herself to empowering and equipping women and underrepresented communities with the tools necessary to increase their financial freedom by utilizing safe money strategies. And I am Francine Humphrey, and full disclosure, I am also a member of the Five Rings Financial team and emerging vice president, along with myself, Michelle, and Kevin. So we're excited to be with you today. So we're going to jump right into it, guys. I have some great information that we want to share. And Michelle, I'm going to start with you. And we're talking about being scared, the scary things that are going on. We know that this is a different time for everybody who's listening to the show today. It's not just one community, but all communities have been affected by the pandemic. So one of the things that we want to share with the audience today is, what have you found to be the most common concerns that women have when it pertains to money?
Well, there are a variety of them, and there's no way that I can cover all of them in today's show. And what we need to understand is that financial fears can actually paralyze anyone from making decisions about their money. And for many women, money matters particularly are a huge concern, and it's terrifying. So one of the concerns that we have is what we call the bag lady syndrome. And this has been around since the 70s. And the reason why we have these concerns is because we've probably seen women that we know, that we care about, that we're close to, that who have gone through this, where they've had to be dependent upon someone else to take care of them when they ran out of money. So there's a whole lot of anxiety around finding ourselves suddenly destitute, wondering, where am I going to live? What am I going to do? So that's the top one. Another one is what we call the old maid syndrome. And that means, you know, I never got married. Or if you have been married, what if my spouse passes away or I get divorced and I don't get remarried? So that's one of the concerns that women have. It's about either losing a mate or never being to obtain a mate. Because some women actually, a man is their plan. And one thing we like to say when we're at Wine, Women, and Wealth is a man is not a plan, right? But you have a lot of women where that actually is their plan, right? They're going to find
themselves a husband. Is that a T-shirt, Michelle?
Listen, we need to make one, right? I'm going to find myself a husband. You know, he's going to go to work. He's going to get his pension, and I'm going to get that pension. You know, so that's the mindset of some communities. And I'm not saying whether that's right or wrong. What I'm saying is it has created problems for us in the long run, okay? And the third one is I'm not smart enough or not being taken seriously about money. And the fact is, it's not at all that we're not smart enough, is that we've not been socialized to talk about finance with others. And as women, we tend to learn through conversations. You know, the financial market has been someplace where there are not a huge number of women, even to this day. So women have been locked out of the conversation because sometimes you had men who would say, don't worry, you're pretty little head about that. You know what I mean? I'll take care of it. Or they've been with a husband and he's taking care of all of the finances, so they know very little about finances. And should that husband pass away, then they're in a situation where they don't know a whole lot about it. They find out what their husband either had or didn't have. So, again, I'll just stress, a man is not a plan.
Awesome, Michelle. Kevin, we know that men face fears too. So let's talk about the fear that men face in today's ever-changing economy. So what do you believe is to be their number one concern from the male point of view?
I think the number one concern for most men in general is we're going to be to retire someday, or if they're going to have to work all the way through till the day they die. They feel like the pressure's always on their back. They feel like they have to be responsible for their family and be that provider, and that puts a lot of pressure on them. I think that one thing that they need to do just to get over that fear is realize that they aren't alone in that thinking, that a lot of men out there feel exactly the same way, that their weight is on their shoulders and they have to provide for their family. If they don't provide for their family, they're a failure. But there are ways that they can get around that. There are ways they can start planning for their future. And it's making baby steps along the way. But the first step is to acknowledge that you aren't alone in that fear. That's one of the major concerns I think that most men have.
Hey,
the other concerns
Kevin.
I think men have. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, okay.
You good.
I was going to say, another one of the concerns that I find that a lot of men have is they feel like they're living paycheck to paycheck. Like they're on the hamster wheel and they can't get off of it. And that's something that again, a lot of people feel that way. And men need to realize that they're not alone with that feeling. And that everybody kind of feels that way. You're living up to your means, you're spending all the money you make, and then you're waiting for that next paycheck until you get another boost of cash. You could run out around really hard again. But you have to realize that the way around that is just to plan a budget. And there are many ways to do a budget. I encounter people who they don't know how to get started with the budget, so I always advise them, get a small little pad. You know, with you. Every time you spend money, make a note of it. whether you're charging it, using a debit card, paying with cash, just make a note of it. Do it for a week, and then go back and review all your notations. And you'll see all these places where cash is sort of slipping through your hands and you don't realize it. And try to do it for a full month and review your budget of where your money is going and where it's disappearing, and then sit back and think about whether or not these are expenses that you really need to have, whether they're ones you can adjust slightly or eliminate completely. And that will help you ease that burden of that feeling like I'm living paycheck to paycheck, because you'll find that when you cut out some of those expenses that you really don't need, you do have some money left over before your next paycheck. And so you're starting off a little bit ahead of the game, and that taking that pressure off of you will relieve that fear. And I think those are the two top fears that most men have when it comes to money.
Okay, great information. And so I know that there probably are people listening on the line, and they do have a lot of fears right now because the economy is so different. It looks different. It feels different. So, Michelle, why is it hard for us to talk about these concerns or even money as a whole?
Culture. Okay. Culture. And when I mean culture, this kind of socialization happens on three different levels. We have our individual levels, which is our immediate families, the families that we grew up in. If they did not talk about money, we tend to carry that forward where it is taboo. You know, we did what grandma did and grandpa did and mom did and dad did. And if mom and dad and grandma and grandpa didn't talk about money, or the only conversation we had about money was we didn't have any, right? Or it's like, don't be going out here telling people, you know, what we have and what we don't have, right? You know, then you tend to carry that forward even with your own children. And then this level. And by group, I mean we are part of multiple groups. Like I have my girlfriend group. When we were younger, we grew up with kids in school, and I was part of a naval officer group. I'm part of the African-American woman group. So we're part of many groups, and those groups tend to police themselves. So within those groups, if you do not talk about money, or you're not taught to talk about money, if people are feeling shame around money, then we don't talk about it. And there tends to be a lot of embarrassment, and there tends to be shame when it comes to money and fear. So it's something that we don't talk about. And then there's the societal level. Do we talk about money on a societal level? And sometimes, yes, we do. But think about how we speak about it on a societal level. The people with money, they're smart, they're great. The people without money, they're poor, they're broke because of their personal decisions. They put themselves in that situation. Whereas people with money, oh, well, they make great decisions. And so they got there because they made great decisions. And that's not necessarily always true, right? Because we know we have people that were born into money and it may have been passed down, but because they received that money and they were born into money, they're seen as good, great, or smart, or responsible. Whereas those who may have been born into poverty or not in situations where they had a lot of money, oh, well, those are personal shortcomings. So that's where a lot of our fear and our shame comes from around money. You have those who have it. They may have some shame around it, or they don't want people to know that they have money because you're going to ask them for it, right? And then you have some where they don't have money, and they have shame around that because, well, I'm seen as a failure, or I'm seen as less than because I don't have money, and it's a personal shortcoming of mine. So it just really creates this gridlock around conversations about money. And people that have a lot of money, trust me, they talk about money. They're just not talking to the people that don't have it. You know, that's how you learn the secrets of money and what to do with it, how to grow it, how to keep it, how to build. So we definitely have to have these conversations around money. We have to around these discussions.
And that is so true, Michelle. According to some of the research that we've done, 60% of U.S. households have less than $25,000 total value in savings and investments, excluding their homes. Just 14% expect to have enough money to retire someday. And 45% of U.S. households headed by individuals of working age have not set aside any funds for their future retirement. Kevin, this is our hot button question, and I want you and Michelle to expound on this a little bit. But, Kevin, I'm going to ask you to speak on it first. We have a hard time communicating with our spouses that sometimes we do need help. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yes, Francine, I can. From a male perspective, I know men, you have that feeling like it's that stigma that you have to be the provider for your household. And often if you need help figuring out how to manage your money, how to invest your money, what investments are safe or prudent, you feel like almost a level of shame to admit that to your spouse, that you don't know, and that you aren't all-knowing when it comes to that arena, and that you do need help from somebody else. And part of the problem ends up happening over the years is you spend a lot of time hiding that from your spouse while you're making mistakes, and when it comes to light, now you have marital issues that are going on. If you would just admit that you had a problem with it, reach out and work with somebody, then, you know, set your ego aside in order to do that. Families can grow financially. It can be, you know, sustaining financially. And, you know, that issue eliminates itself in your relationship. But I think that a lot of men just have a problem with that ego, admitting that they don't know something or that they need help with something and feeling that it's something there for a level of embarrassment if they have to admit to their spouse that they don't know. And it's not embarrassing. Like Michelle indicated earlier, if you don't come from money where money is talked about in the family when you're growing up, you have a tendency to only know what you've learned and picked up here and there. And you need to reach out and talk to somebody. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that is most people are facing. You're not alone in that respect. And I think that's just a way around that to keep moving forward.
Michelle, how can we better
Yes.
communicate as women?
I believe that we have to get beyond our fear and get beyond our shame and talk about it. And one way to be able to start that conversation is by attending financial seminars and workshops like the ones that we have, where they're only women, our Wine Women and Wealth, it's all women, and women are in community with each other. So that breaks down that fear where we can speak to each other because we learn through conversation. Because, you know, can money buy happiness? Well, let's face it. There's a relationship between money and happiness, though. It can't buy you happiness, but there's a relationship between money and happiness because money gives you more options, right? And when you understand that, me having a certain amount of cash flow gives me a certain amount of options for myself and my family. So this is a conversation that me and my spouse have to speak about because it's right up there in the top two, right, things that create divorce. You know,
mm-hmm.
money, number one, raising kids, number two, right? So being that we know and we go in this knowing that money is a number one breakdown in communication and marriages, but we still don't talk about it. So you have to think about it. Me and my spouse, we are partners. I'm their wingman and they are my wingman. And if he saw me in a jet or she saw me in a jet about to hit a mountainside, they're going to scream and holler, you know? So thinking that this is just as important. It doesn't buy us happiness, but it buys us options, and it puts us in a situation where we can make very good, solid decisions for our family and set ourselves up for success. So we have to talk about it. And ladies, you know how it is. The man can be the head, but we are the neck, okay? So the head turns whichever way the neck tells it to turn. Okay, so be the neck and drive the conversation, okay? However you got to do it, make them a nice dinner, you know what I'm saying? do whatever. Ladies, you know, even in our same gender marriages, your spouse, your significant other, make them a nice meal. Get some rubbing oil, some candles. I don't care what it is you have to do. You know what you need to do to soften your spouse, to get them to hear you. You know what to do. Do it so that you can build a healthy financial profile for yourself and your family.
Okay. Michelle, girl. That reminds me of.
Concur.
Yes. That's all I'm going to say. So it reminds me of myself personally when I first married my husband. And he did not know that I was in a lot of debt because we didn't talk about it. You know, I had my own house at the time, and this is my second marriage, so I had my own house, I had a car. But I was up to debt. Into my neck, as Michelle just said. And so we had not sit down and had that conversation. And then he found out because some mail came, and he was like, what's this? And I said, it's credit card bills. And he was like, how many credit cards do you have? Because we never talked about it, you know, because I grew up in the old school way. You didn't talk about your money to anybody. You know, it was your secret. My money is my money. His money was our money. But then I had to open that line of communication with him, and we had to have a come to the Lord moment. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was the hardest thing I ever had to do, because this man is looking at me like I had two heads. Like, he probably was saying, if I had known all this, you might not have been the one, you know. But needless to say that we are still together today because we did have that conversation. Was it easy? No, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, to sit down and let him see me, the real me, my spending habits, the amount of debt that I had. And, you know, luckily, he did not divorce me. He worked with me, and he told me I couldn't have any more credit cards. But today we're still together, and I did listen to him because, again, like Michelle said, he is the head, and I was the neck, so I had to do a lot of turning. So. But it was great. We're still together. So we're going to take a break right here, and I want my listening audience to get you something to drink because we got about 37 more minutes, and we're going to just take a station break so that I can pay some bills. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Finances with Francine and Friends. My special guests today are Kevin Green and Michelle Ewing, and we are live, so sometimes the technology gets a little bit out of control, and so we're going to bring Michelle and Kevin back in just a few moments. So hopefully they will realize that they are not still with me, and I'm going to put them back. Turn their mics back on so that we can get started again. This show is being sponsored by Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. Please tune in every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Veronica McMillan and yours truly. So we're going to jump right back in to the program. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you so very much. I am Francine Humphrey. And I would like to give you my email address if you have more questions or if you would like to know more information about the show. My email address is icwdirector@gmail.com. So, Michelle, I want you to give your contact information in case some male or female has a burning question about that neck turning thing. So.
They can reach me at Michelle, M-I-C-H. ELE.EWING@FiveRingsFinancial, that's all spelled out, .com.
Awesome. Kevin, how can they reach you?
at Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, dot Green, G-R-E-E-N, at FiveRingsFinancial.com, all spelled out.
Wonderful. If you're just tuning into the show, we have Michelle Ewing and Kevin Green, my special guests today. We're talking about money. What's so scary about money? Why we're afraid to have those conversations. And if you missed the first 30 minutes of the show, always go back and catch it in the archives. So today we're going to move forward with our next part of the program, and we want to jump right into it. Michelle, what suggestions do you have to get beyond these fears?
Well, one thing is we have to be willing to be open. We have to push past the fear because it is very scary, but that's okay. It's hard. It's very hard to push past our fears, but hard is authorized. You know, I used to say that to my sailors. I say that to my kids, and trust me, I get in the mirror and I say it to myself. Hard is authorized. Do it. You have to do it. Get past that fear. Have that conversation. As far as taking care of those top three fears that I spoke about, the bag lady, you know, being an old maid or not being smart enough or not taken seriously, listen, take control of what you can by creating a plan that covers spending, savings, and insurance coverage. And you make sure you update that plan every 3 to 5 years because it's very important. Create your own financial plan based on your own income, ladies, and work it, right? Because, again, a man is not a plan, okay? And leaving you is not the worst thing that can happen. Like, divorcing you is not the worst thing that can happen. He could not be on this earth anymore. He could pass away. He could get seriously injured, and then it all falls on you, right? So create a financial plan based on your own income and work it. Do one with y'all income together and do some with just your income. And, you know, I know your grandmama and your mama told y'all, listen, you got to have some get mad money. So you got to have a little bit of your own put away. So just in case, right, in case I get mad. It ain't about whether he get mad. It's about whether I get mad. Like, I might need to go ahead and, you know, make myself invisible for a couple of days because I'm mad, right? So it's not all on the gentleman. It's on us too, right? Get yourself involved with a women in money club. For example, Wine Women in Wealth. We have one that's coming up this coming Monday at 5 o'clock. It's virtual. You'll be encouraged there, you'll be supported, and you'll be mentored through those conversations about finances. So come, find us, seek us out. Me and Francine, we're there at Wine Women in Wealth. We have Money 101 seminars. You will be encouraged, you will be supported, and you will be mentored through those tough conversations about finance.
Good information, Michelle. Kevin, a few of my clients are in debt and fear they will be living in this situation forever. Is there a way they can face this challenge and get on with living their lives?
Yes, absolutely. The first thing to realize is that little incremental changes make a big difference in the back end. So even if you're sitting down going, I'm in debt, I can't possibly do anything right now, next year when I have more money, that's when I'll start. And then next year roll around, you're not going to be able to start, you're still in debt. The loss of those 2 years can make a huge difference on the back end. But even if it's just a small amount, even if it's just $5 a week, you know, $25 a month or something small amount like that, if you can start your savings and start focusing on that, you'll be surprised at how quickly that will end up growing into something that's substantial on the back end. When you hit your retirement years, when you get your older times in life, when you want to kick back and enjoy the good life. So just the small changes. Just make small changes. If you don't know how to sit down and start a budget, if you don't want to sit down and review the budget that you're currently on that's not working, like Michelle said, Wine Women in Wealth is an excellent place to start, to get information, to sit down and bond with other women that are also in the same boat. If you're not a woman and you're a male, such as myself, we do have Money 101 workshops, which are also, again, start giving you ideas and some questions that you could raise and sit down on, you know, yourself and with your spouse and answer those questions to get the ball rolling. Those types of ideas, you know, that get the ball rolling are the types of things to be addressing in Money 101 every single time we have one. And we do have a virtual Money 101 coming up on Tuesday night. We have another one coming up on Wednesday night. We have one coming up on Thursday afternoon. They're always available. Especially now we're in this virtual world. We're doing more of them now than ever before. So I would say that would be my advice to you, to sit down, face the fear head on, and work through it. Start raising the questions and start working the plan just a little bit at a time.
Good information, Kevin. Good stuff. Now, we know that we have breadwinners, and whether they're male or female. So, Kevin, when we're facing the fear of unemployment, like so many are right now, how much income do you think we should have in case of emergencies or job loss?
I think you should always have 3 to 6 months' worth of income liquid. So whether it's in a bank, in a savings account that you set aside saying, look, this is my mad money, as Michelle referred to it, or just my emergency money, try to build it up till you get to a point where you can sustain and pay all your bills for 3 to 6 months. That's a good pool of money. And in case something happens, whether it's a job loss, what's going on right now with the coronavirus or anything else, where you have like a slight dip in your income, the money's there to help you sustain. This way you won't have to touch any longer-term investments that you plan for your retirement years. You don't want to start dipping into that because you're trying to make your next month's car payment, because it will dramatically affect your retirement years. So you want that emergency money to sit in place. Put it there, leave it there, and only use it if it's a true emergency. Not like you're going out shopping, you're like, oh, I've got to get this brand new pair of sneakers or this brand new shirt, I love it. That's not what the emergency money is for. That's what your everyday spending money is for. So if you segregate it, you have your everyday spending money, maybe kept in your checking account. Then you have some your emergency savings, put in a savings account just for that. If you know you want to plan a big vacation next year, open another account. Separate the money again. And every time you get a few dollars goes into the vacation fund, so you can build that money. So if the money stays separate, when you keep it separate like that, it's a little easier to manage. It's a little bit easier to stay on track. It's a little easier to stay focused on what this particular account is for. And years ago, we used to have Christmas savings accounts. We don't have those anymore, but they were always an excellent idea. You know, but try to do something similar to that. Focus money on your money that way, and you'll find that it might help out with a lot of your problems.
Michelle, many women are single, and they will be single in retirement age. What suggestions do you have, and how much money should they put away for emergencies and job loss?
Well, I concur with Kevin. I would say 3 to 6 months is the minimum that you want to have in case of emergencies, and I would say many women are single. That's okay, because I already echoed a man is not a plan, right? So they may be in a better situation than someone who is completely dependent upon someone for all of their livelihood. Get a budget. As a matter of fact, come and see us. Let us do a funnel on you. Let us help you figure out how to set yourself up for success, how to put your pocket change and turn that into big money. Because listen, I have a little bank that I throw all my change in. You'd be surprised how much money is in there when you throw all your loose change in there. I have a family member who sends me money every month so that she can save, right? Because I'm like a bank and we have a contract. What is this money for? Let's do the contract now, because you got to have the contract. Because you can't tell me you want me to hold money for you and it's for an emergency, but then you call me up and your emergency is that pair of shoes in Macy's. And I'm talking to myself right here, y'all, right? That pair of shoes in Macy's is the emergency. And then you reach out to me and you say, okay, I need that $80. I'm like, what's the emergency? Girl, it's these shoes. No, you can't have it. Right? So if you know you're the type of person that has a tough time really saving, then get yourself an accountability partner, do a contract, make sure that money is out of your reach. You know, it has to be somebody you trust. I don't want to say that all willy-nilly or any kind of way. It has to be somebody that you trust, somebody that you viewed are personally responsible with their finances and that they will help you out. But like Kevin said, I would say 3 to 6 months is the minimum, because look at where we are right now. We don't even know if this is going to last more than 3 months. You know what I mean? And if it does, if you got 6 months worth of savings, then you're golden. And hopefully people have called their credit card companies, you know, the banks, and got things deferred and reduced, because you want to have as much liquid cash on hand as you possibly can, because we don't know how long this is going to last. And it's happening for everybody, including our landlords, including the businesses that we do business with. So I would just say 6 months at a minimum, because we are ladies. You know, Kevin is so good looking, he might be able to go out there and get somebody to give him some money if he run out. But I know that I need to have a minimum of 6 months cash in my bank account in case I need to pay, because I'm not as good looking as he is.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
Well, again, and my advice. So, Michelle, you talked about a funnel. Now, there may be somebody on the line who doesn't fully grasp what a funnel is. So can you describe that just a little bit more, go a little bit in depth on how you would help someone with the funnel?
Okay. What we do is we have you come in, and what we do is we help you refinance your finances. And we call that putting it through the five rings funnel. We find out what your mortgage is or your rent. We find out what all the bills that you have, including your insurances. And what we say is, if you're paying this much for insurance, maybe, because we have partnerships with other people in the financial industry, maybe we know an insurance agent who can get you a better deal. Or you know what? Maybe you've been with this company for so long, it's been so long since you called them, hey, let me give them a call now and tell them I'm going someplace else, and then you get your insurance lowered. Same thing with your cell phone bills. Same thing with your cable bills. We have you call them, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay, you know, because let me tell you something. These phone companies, they got a lot of money. They got a lot more than me. I don't have a problem calling them and saying, oh, man, I don't know. This other company over here is offering me something better, and I you know, I'm thinking about leaving. And then they may possibly lower your bill. So we just help you refinance your finances to pull out more savings that you never even realized that you had, because we put things in autopilot. And once you realize, oh, wow, here's an additional $250 every month that I never even knew I had, and we help you roll that into a savings account for yourself so that you can be better prepared for your future.
Great information, Michelle. Currently, 15% of American workers, yes.
I'm sorry, if I just add a little bit onto what Michelle had to say. So she named
sure.
about different types of insurances, but one of the biggest forms of debt right now people have is credit card debt. And the same thing works for credit card debts. Call in your credit card companies and see if you can lower your finance rate. And that also might make a tremendous difference on the back end. If you can just lower that, even if it's 1% or 2%, and if you've been a long-term customer to a credit card company, they're often willing to do that for you.
Great information. And I hope the audience is writing these things down. You will have an opportunity to contact Michelle or Kevin after the show. So if you have burning questions, please, please, please contact Michelle Ewan and Kevin Green, because they are a plethora of information. And we talked about making sure that we have money set aside. And so a concern right now is most of Americans are starting over again if they've lost their jobs, or they just don't know if their company is going to open back up. So it's like a start over for a lot of people. Currently, less than 15% of American workers have a pension plan. So back in the 80s and 90s, it was about 39% had a pension plan. And so, Kevin, can you speak a little bit about the 401k retirement plan, what that looks like, paying into that now, and how you do you have any suggestions for people who have a 401k and what they can do?
If you work for a company that offers a 401k, particularly one that has matching to some extent, you should always fund your 401k, if it's possible, to the match. The match is free money. Every dollar you put in, they're matching it a dollar from their side. So to the extent that possible, when it comes to your budget, you should always put in up to where your company matches. After that, you have to stop and pause for a moment and decide what do you want to do with any extra money that you might have. Money invested in a 401k or mutual funds, TSPs, things like that, they're invested in the stock market. So when the market is very volatile like it is right now, your investment dollars in that market is going to go up and down along with the market. So you can face great gains, but also you can look at great losses. So anything above the matching in your 401k, you have to decide how risk-averse you are. Do you want to, and that might depend on how old you are, how far away your retirement years are going to be, how much of a time horizon you have. You may want to put more of it in the stock market to try to get it to grow faster. As you get closer to your retirement years, you might want to take that extra money that you have and put it in something that's a safe money investment, which we can help you with advisory financially. We have lots of safe money investments that we can educate you about and which one is right for you. But you might not want to overfund your 401k above that matching. It all depends on what you're looking for. We like to work with people on an individual level, and you sit down with them, find out what's important to them, look at and analyze your time and system to protect, what type of lifestyle they want to live in their retirement years, and we devise a plan that's individual for each person. One of the things that 5-year financial is very good at, we'll sit down with you and we'll work it out so that this is your individual plan. And like Michelle said, you should always go back and retweak it every few years and see if it's still right for you or if you need to make some adjustments. But that's one of our strong suits here at 5-Rings Financial. That would be my advice.
Good advice, Kevin. So we're winding it up a little bit today. We got about 15 more minutes. And we know, of course, that people are listening. They probably have these burning questions. So I just want to give each of you an opportunity to tell the folks how they can get in touch with you. Michelle, give your website, your phone number, whatever, Gmail, 5rings.com, whatever it is, and how you want people to contact you.
Okay, well, first of all, they ain't getting my number because these telemarketers are horrendous, okay, because I'm not going to answer. If I don't know the number, I promise I'm not going to answer. What, until I find a better system, y'all going to have to hit me up on email. That is michelle.ewing, that's Michelle with one L, .ewing at 5ringsfinancial.com. That's all spelled out. You can also reach me at michelle, one L, .ewing, one at gmail.com. And my website is www.livingbenefitsexperts.com/lifetimelegacies. Again, that's www.livingbenefitsexperts, that's the S on the both in the both of those, .com/lifetimelegacies with the S on the end, IES. That's where you can reach me.
Kevin?
After listening to Michelle, I feel like I need to go out and get a few more email addresses or something here.
You need some more contact info, Kevin.
I keep it simple. I have one email address, one place to check. It's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, period, Green, G-R-E-E-N, at 5ringsfinancial.com, all spelled out.
Okay, awesome. And if you would like to contact me, again, it's icwdirector@gmail.com, or you can go to f.humphrey@5ringsfinancial.com. So I am excited, as I hope you can tell, I'm excited and thrilled to have you both on the show today. And I want you to just give a little bit of your personal side, because we've been kind of serious today. And Michelle, I know that you've been in the military for 27 years, and we talked about this last week, but I thought it was really great if you could share this with our audience today. In that time in the military as a warfighter, leading, training, and developing people to win wars, how does what you do now even compare to that?
As far as I'm concerned, I look at money as warfare, okay? Because if you think about it, it really is. When you have it, you have more options. When you don't, most of your options are limited and other people are making that decision for you. I don't look at helping people with their finances any differently than I look at how I used to help my sailors develop, promote, achieve. It's the same thing for me. Now I help individuals, whether they are military, whether they're veterans, whether they're civilians, I help them to develop themselves financially so that they can reach their goals. I am very competitive. I am very committed. I am mission-focused, and I am action-oriented. So I'm that person where if you tell me you have a goal, oh, I'm going to get behind you, put my hands in between your shoulder blades, and push you across the finish line. That's the way I am. And some people may look at it and say, well, military was life and death. And like I said, for me, your financial life is life or death. Because think about the decisions that are made when it comes to your health, where you live, how you live, what you can afford, what you can't afford. So it is all warfare to me, because the more resources you have, whether that's liquid assets or real assets, it helps determine how many choices you have, how many options you have for your future. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm a warfighter, and I take that fight into anything that I do, whether that be driving a Navy ship, whether that be teaching a leadership class, whether that be fighting for one of my sailors, or whether that be fighting for you and your money. That's what I do. That's who I am. I win. I win. I know I said that last time. I'm about
yes.
winning. That's what I do.
That's your word. Great. Kevin, you worked in banking, finance, and you practiced law for a number of years. If you could do anything you wanted to do, what's next for you?
I think this is the ultimate job for me. I love this job. When I started off in banking and finance, I worked with companies, large companies, working with millions of dollars at a time. And the financial principles that help those businesses grow are the same ones that will help you as an individual grow in your household. And I love being able to sit down with individuals and work with them one-on-one and give them that and help them with that solid financial plan to get them where they want to be. When I practiced law, and I did practice law for over 20 years, it was all about crossing every T, dotting every I, and then going back and double-checking everything that you said and done. And that's exactly the same mindset you have to have when you're working with people's finances. You have to make sure everything you're doing with them is accurate. Make sure everything that you're doing with them is what they want. It's going to help them achieve their goals and their, you know, to provide for their future the way they want their future to be and the way they want their future to look. And so this is it for me. I love this right now. If I can do this for the next 20 years, the next 30 years, the next 40 years, I don't think I live that long, but if I could do this for the next 40 years, I would do this for the next 40 years. Sitting down with people over their, you know, their kitchen table and working with them and helping them to achieve the best thing that they can do for themselves.
Absolutely. Kevin, you only 20. What you talking about? You ain't going to live another 40 years.
I know,
oh,
that's right.
Thanks to Michelle. The check is in the mail.
So, you know, Kevin started out when he was a baby, you know, so, and he's grown into a wonderful friend and business partner. And so I'm so proud of you and Michelle and all that you're doing in the community. This gives us the opportunity to really share information with people on a level where they can really appreciate it and not feel like we're just out there just doing whatever it is we need to do, because that's what we need to do. We do this because we love this. This is a part of who we are, and whether we're at Five Rings Financial or on this radio show, we want our audience to know that we love what we do, and that's why we're doing it. Nobody makes us do this. We're in this business because we love people and we want to help the community. And the one good thing about Five Rings Financial, we help the middle-class Americans, and sometimes they feel left out because if they know that something is out of their reach, they think it's out of their reach because nobody ever explained it to them. So we get a great opportunity today, Michelle and Kevin, to kind of break it down for people and let them know that, hey, it's obtainable for you. All you have to do is let us know. And so reach out to us. Use those emails and Michelle's website to contact us, and we are here to help you, and we want to be a light in this time of uncertainty. So, Michelle, we're getting down to the wire. What's the one piece of advice you want our listeners to walk away with today?
Call me if you need someone to talk to. Call me. No, call us, okay? To help. Really, like Francine said, we love what we do. We love people, which means we love you. So call us and let us help you. We are here to help.
Okay. Kevin, do you have any advice for our listening audience today, something that they can walk away with?
I think the one thing I'd like everybody to walk away with is it's never too late to start. It's never too late to start investing in yourself, start investing in your future, and no amount is too small. Procrastination is our greatest enemy. To say you're going to wait till next year when you have more money and you can, you know, put more money away, next year will never come because there will always be another year after that. So the one thing I want your listening audience to walk away from is get started. Get started with something, and any little bit will help.
Okay, great. Today, in this ever-changing environment, we know that virtual is the way that people are going. We're trying to stay connected. So, Michelle, please tell our audience again about Why Women in Wealth, when it's coming up, and how they can get a seat to our fantastic virtual program.
We have our next Why Women in Wealth this coming Monday, May 4th at 5 p.m., and you can find us on Eventbrite. It's 5RF East at Eventbrite. Once you go there, you'll see a variety of events that we have coming up. But you'll be able to see the Wine, Women, and Wealth that we currently have coming up on Monday. If you don't catch that, if you can't find it, hit us up on email. We'll direct you there. Then you can get my telephone number, and I will send you a link. Because then I know who you are. All right? Send us an email. We'll direct you.
Okay, great. Kevin, we have Money 101 coming up throughout the week. Can you give us a rundown on what that looks like and how people can get a seat to Money 101?
Absolutely. You can reach out to us individually via our email or, again, the website that you mentioned, 5RE Eventbrite. That will also show you the list of events that we have coming up. Just so people can make note of it right now, we have a Money 101 coming up on Tuesday night. That's May 5th at 6:30 to 7 o'clock. We have another one coming up on Wednesday, 8:30 to 9 p.m. We have one coming up on Thursday from 1:30 in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon for all those people who can't make an evening event. We have one coming up the following Monday, May 11th. In the evening as well. So we constantly have events coming. We're constantly updating our schedule. And, again, they're all virtual. Some of them are an hour long. Some of them are 30 minutes long. So depending on what you can make time for, I encourage you to tune in and just listen and learn.
Okay, great. Some of our audience are challenged by virtual Zooms and webinars. Is there a place for them at our events? Can they still, if they can't log themselves in, how in the world are they going to get to see us at Wyman and Wealth, Michelle?
Well, we will be hopefully going back to live events, hopefully the latest fall. So we will go back to having our live events prayerfully. If not, again, send me an email. Hopefully, we've made it that far because most grandkids get you to go on email now, all right? They even get you to go text. So you send me an email, you send me your telephone number, I'll send you a text with the link, and all you have to do is click it. Or you can give me the information, I will go ahead and put it in the system and help walk you through the process. But prayerfully, we'll be back to doing our Wine, Women, and Wealth, hopefully by the fall, because we love people. We love hugging on them. You know, we have our masks and stuff now. I don't know, y'all. You know, we're going to make it through this, though, because we got a new normal.
We
right?
will.
So don't even get me start talking about it, because, you know, I start loving on everybody. But prayerfully, by the fall, we'll be back in business doing live events. But who knows? It may not be until next year. But we'll be around. We'll be back. But we'll help you through those challenges, those electronic hurdles, because this is our new normal right now. So we need to be working from there.
Great. Kevin, we are here to help. We've been saying that throughout the show. How can someone who is challenged by virtual, because we know, and we talked about this last week, so I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing, that you like being around people. How has this been for you, this virtual world that we're now in?
It is very different. I was just talking about this with somebody earlier this morning. I love sitting down over that table with you and discussing things with you, discussing things via Zoom, on conference calls. I'm still helping people and getting out and reaching out to people, and that's all fantastic, but I do miss that bond of being face-to-face with somebody and watching them when their eyes light up as they're getting information that they know can really help them. And so I'm missing it. I'm like Michelle. I can't wait to get back to you. I can't wait to, you know, get back to interaction with people face-to-face. But in the meantime, this is our new normal, and we have to all do the best of it that we can, whether it's via Zoom, conference calls, anything else that we can use to reach out to people. And like Michelle said, if you're having a hard time getting into one of our workshops, we will always help you, walk you through the process, get you in. We can send you a link that's just a simple click on a link, and it'll take you right into the event if that's what you need. We're here to help you. We're here to help you, you know, get the information that you want and that you need.
Great. Well, we're in the 2-minute mark, team. And so I want to thank you, Kevin and Michelle, for being on the show with me today. We are the dream team of finance, and we are dedicated to help each other and also to help our community. We want the listening audience to know that we offer safe money strategies. That's what we focus on. We are here to help you again. We can't say that enough. And I am so proud of Michelle and Kevin and all that they're doing and as their organizations grow, because we didn't even get a chance to talk about that today. Michelle has 26 team members. Kevin has 2 or 3 and possibly more in the pipeline. We're growing our businesses. We are so excited about what we're doing. We love what we do, and we want you to know that we are here to help you. So please, please, please contact us, ask the questions, because we need to start having these conversations about money. We're money people, so we have to talk about money. So, Michelle, before we go, is there anything else you want to say to the audience before we go? We got a minute and 40 seconds.
It was wonderful to be here with you all. Francine, it's always, always wonderful spending time with you. You're a phenomenal hostess. And Kevin, as always, it's great to be on here with you. Your voice is very soothing. I already told you, you got that feedback already, okay? Got that good balance. I'm the wild, crazy one. Kevin is the calm demeanor, nice move. Our Barry White, you know. But I just want to say, ladies, remember, a man is not a plan. Take control of your finances, whether that be for you single ladies or that be for you married ladies. Help your husbands. You already heard what Kevin had to say. Sometimes it's a tough conversation for them too, okay? So we have to be our softer selves and let them know it's okay. We understand because we heard it from a man now. We know what the problem is. Like, you know what, man? I know what your problem is. Come on, let's work it out, right? Kevin told me that this is what is going on. So how can I help? But we're all in this together, and just call us. We'll be waiting. Send us an email. We'll be waiting. Visit the website. We'll be waiting.
Great. Kevin, 30 seconds.
You know, Michelle's fantastic. I don't know how to follow that. We are here to help, and like she said, we're waiting. Just reach out. We are waiting. I am going to tell a story about the head and the neck thing, though. I like
okay.
that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Finances with Francine and Friends. My friends today are Michelle Ewan and Kevin Green. So please be good to yourself and your family, your loved ones. Please be safe. Stay healthy. Look out for your fellow man. Relax and be kind. Call us. We're here to help. Thank you so much. We'll be back next Friday at 3:30 to the Finances with Francine and Friends show. Bye-bye now. Take care.